If you remember my last Sunday sermon, I talked about prayer as a relationship, encouraging all of you to start your prayer with calling God in heaven, my Father. I hope all of us have been practicing that, like I have. Let me begin my sermon this morning with a story of mine, once again related to prayer, that took place almost 40-some years ago in Korea. I was in my college in those days. It was a wintry night when my family got a phone call from a local hospital. They said that my older brother, I have three brothers, all older than I am, and he's the second. My older brother was in the intensive care unit. So my family rushed to the hospital and later found out what had happened to him. And that night my brother was having a just party with his bunch of his friends, boys and girls, in their 20s. And after the party was over, he was heading home. However, he was drunk, driving his motorcycle with his girlfriend at the back without a helmet. So it's a deadly combination: drunk, driving a motorcycle without a helmet. So on his way back, his motorcycle slipped into a wall, actually ran into the city wall and flung in the air and then landed on the ground. My brother landed on his head with an impact, of course without a helmet. His girlfriend had a few scratches, but she was okay. So x-rays showed that he had a blood clot lodged in his brain the size of a tennis ball. I saw it. The doctor suggested to operate on his head right away, saying that the chances, however, were 50-50. You have to consider the medical technology in the 1970s in my city wasn't that great. So the family opted out. So for the next 2 weeks, my brother remained in comatose. Not induced one, but natural one. At the time, I had been a Christian about 5 years. I still didn't know much about prayer. And one thing I did, though, after my brother's accident, was going to God in prayer. What else can you do in such a time? So I decided to pray with fasting, that means that praying without food for 3 days. I went to a prayer house in a mountain about 2 hours away from my hometown. And I cried unto God repeatedly, saying, "Give my brother's life to me. Give his life to me." That's all I could say. Over and over again. On the second day, during morning services, worship service, that I was praying God, and God filled my heart with peace and assurance that my brother would survive. And only those who have received such assurance from the Lord would understand what I'm saying. So I came down and went home telling everybody that my brother would make it. No one in my family believed in me. Actually, some thought that I was going a little crazy. Now, to make a long story short, my brother came out of coma on the 15th day after the accident, and after under 2 weeks, he walked out of the hospital on foot, without any surgery, without any physical therapy. And that brother still lives today. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this story with you is because I want you to know another aspect of prayer. Prayer is a heart cry out to the Lord for help in times of need or crisis, if you will. It is a heart cry to the Lord for help in times of need. It is a cry for the divine intervention and deliverance. It is a cry for God's rescue from our troubles. It is a spiritual 911 call to God, our deliverer. In today's text, we see Peter the apostle in the similar situation. He was in a big trouble. He was about to be drowned, sinking in the water. Once I was almost drowned, I know the feeling. You're so desperate. And I'm sure he was going through the same emotions. Even though he was a fisherman, and even though he was an expert swimmer, in the throes of fear, Peter was going down. So he cried out to the Lord in verse 30, Lord, save me. It wasn't like prayer, Lord, please save me, with a smile. No. Help! That's what he cried out. Of course, Jesus immediately reached out his hand to Peter and pulled him out of the water. Keep that image in your mind. Have you noticed that prayer has a certain pattern? It begins with our trouble. A lot of us go to God when we are in trouble. And then we turn to God and cry out for his help. And God comes to our rescue. The pattern is trouble, cry, and rescue. Prayer is our way of asking for God's help. And it is also God's way of rescuing us from our troubles. Come to think of it, the scripture is full of such stories of prayers, how God interacts with his people through prayer. Once again, remember the pattern. God's people are in trouble. They cry out to their Father in heaven, and God comes to the rescue. Trouble, cry, and rescue. By the way, we don't always pray quietly and softly. Don't get me wrong, 95% of the time, that's how I pray. In my own room, quiet, soft, between God and me. However, there are times that I need to shout. It is not unchristian nor unbiblical to raise our voice to God. Now, some of us dead against, praying aloud, but I'm not. Because there are times that you have to. In fact, when things are so tough, when we are so desperate, we must cry out on top of our lungs, like Peter did. The Bible is full of examples like that. Did you know that God encourages his children, us, to cry unto him, and he will answer? God was speaking to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 33:3. He says to him, call to me, and I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, call to me in Hebrew, original Hebrew word, has the meaning of speak, read, or even call aloud. The key word is here, aloud. Not softly or quietly, but loudly. As I said, in normal conditions, we would not raise our voice to God. However, under dire situations, we have to. Wouldn't you? I would. Think of a Bartimaeus, a man. By the way, when you read, some of you read the New Testament now, whenever you read the name begins with B-A-R, bar whatever, it means the son of. Barnabas means son of Abbas. Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. Anyway, who was he? He was a quiet man, but he was blind, So all he could do in those days, 2,000 years ago, was begging, blind beggar. One day he heard from the crowd that Jesus, the miracle healer, passing by, right in its town, right on the street where he was sitting and begging. So he thought, this is the once-in-a-lifetime chance for me. I am going to ask him to open my eyes. It's now or never. So he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Once again, he wasn't like, Jesus, please, have mercy on me. It wasn't like that. He began to cry out. He was so loud and obnoxious that the crowd shooed him down. Shh, shh, don't bother the master. Several times, he wouldn't budge. He kept shouting and shouting until he got Jesus' attention. The scripture said Jesus stopped because he was, you know, crying out aloud. Of course, he healed Bartimaeus on the spot. Please note here, that shouting itself, I'm not just promoting for the sake of shouting. No. Shouting itself does not have a merit. But your heart cry does. When things so go wrong and when you are so desperate and when you have no one else to turn to for help, your heart cries out to the Lord for his help. That's what matters. Because the Lord hears our heart cry and delivers us from troubles. Listen to another story of a mother in the Bible who could not stand her child dying in the desert. Her name was Hagar. She was a servant girl of Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. If you go through the Old Testament, you know what I'm talking about. One day, Hagar and her child Ishmael were thrown out of by Abraham and Sarah into the wilderness. With a loaf of bread and a skin of water. Of course, as you imagine, they soon ran out of water. To the mother, Hagar, her own dying was one thing. But she could not bear the thought of watching her son die in the wilderness. So she lifted her voice up and wept, the Bible says. I'm using exact words that in Genesis 21. So did the boy. The boy cried too. And from heaven, God heard their cries. And God opened the eyes of the mother so that she may see a well of water. The story goes on. Remember, God hears the heart cry. Now, I'm speaking to the parents now this morning whose hearts are broken because of their children's troubles, either spiritual, emotional, or even physical. I urge the parents to keep crying out unto the Lord on your child's behalf. Never, ever give up. Because when you're so weary and you're about to give up, that's when you should cry out more unto the Lord. Remember, if you stop crying out to the Lord on your child's behalf, who do you think will? You are the last ally your child has. Here's another story of heart cry. I'm sure you're familiar with Jonah and the big fish, Sunday school. Jonah was swallowed by the big fish and stayed there in the belly of the fish for 3 days. This is what it is written in chapter 2. In the stomach of the fish, Jonah prayed. I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol, and you heard my voice. Again, in Hebrew literary technique, they always repeat twice. That's what's going on here. He called out. Once again, it's the same word, crying out loud for help from the depth of Sheol, and God heard his voice. You know, it is surprising that even Jesus Christ, our Lord, who just was so close to God and equal to God, I don't think he needed to cry out to God. But surprisingly, this is what Hebrews 5, chapter 5 says. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, would cry out to his heavenly Father in prayers and petitions while he was on earth. Now listen, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. King David, and I'll be through. We all know King David. He prayed a lot. That's why he wrote a lot of Psalms, you know. Psalm 61 says this, that this is his prayer to God. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Again, the verb here, the noun, cry, has the meaning of ringing cry or cry aloud. When his heart was faint, almost giving up, David cried out aloud to God to get his attention. There we go, folks. We heard about Jeremiah, we heard about Jonah, we heard about King David, we heard about Jesus Christ. All these examples tell us that there are times that we need to cry out to God. And God hears our cry. See? Baby say amen. She confirms. See? Isn't it amazing when baby cries, gets immediate attention from the mother? The mothers could tell the difference too. That's how it is like with our God. When we cry, God just pays attention to us. Well, it is God's will for us to pray without ceasing. And in times of distress, we cry out to him. I urge everyone to join me in praying for our children, especially those who are under the bondage of addictions and sin and death. Let's keep crying out unto God until God delivers our children from the bondage of their addictions. Let's ring God's ears with our petitions, with tears, until he moves our children out of the darkness to light and from Satan's grip to God's kingdom. Let us cry out unto God. Let us cry out to him, and he will rescue us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oftentimes, Lord, we consider you up in heaven, distant from our daily struggles. But that's not who you are. You are our Heavenly Father, who's really deeply involved in our daily struggles, who knows what's going on, every single detail in our minds and hearts, thoughts. So when we are so weary of what's going on in our relationships, you already know. In those moments, Lord, help us to come to you in heart cry. Father, save me, save my child. And Lord, you say, I'll do it. I'll do it. I hear your voice. Lord, help us to continue praying, 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 and praying more for our children and for our loved ones. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.